Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Dudes in a Kitchen with Tyler Florence
and Wells Adams, an iHeartRadio podcast.
That's right. It's time for another episode of Two Dudes in a Kitchen. It's Wells Adams alongside Tyler Florence. Where are you today? It looks like you're back in San Francisco.
Yeah, man. Back in Northern California. Very successful trip to Hawaii. Miller & Lux Hawalalai is, I guess they're 12 weeks strong right now. Kind of killing it.
Nice.
Our team is just amazing out there. So that trip was really insightful because now you go running a restaurant in another state that happens to be on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, you know, kind of comes with the strategies. It's beautiful and our team are fabulous, but it's Hawaii and it's just a little different, right? So we're going to be out there quarterly, you know, managing that restaurant, and I'm back out there, in another 2 weeks or so. Have pity on me, but I'm going to be out there six times a year.
Oh no. Tyler,
oh,
is there enough sunscreen for you?
Paradise, six times a year.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be the guy who works in paradise, not you.
Well,
what's going on here?
We got to get you out. We got to get you. So I was talking to you offline about that, but they were kind of putting together these little like friends and family packages just for cool people.
Yeah.
So if you and your want to come out and play some golf and hang out, we'll cook. We'll have a good time.
I love it.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, it sounds awesome, man. I'm excited for that. I'm also excited for the episode today. It's early in the week, which means we are doing audience questions. And I like this. We've got kind of a two-parter today. An audience member sent us an article with some food questions that they wanted to get our opinion on. So I thought we'd start with that today.
All right. Yeah.
Stephen Thomp sent these from BuzzFeed. I guess let's just try to do it fast. Let's try to like stream of consciousness, like rapid fire. Let's see what Tyler Florence thinks. First one, what is the best dipping sauce for chicken tenders? Ketchup, honey mustard, or ranch?
I like ranch with a little bit of barbecue sauce mixed in. So it's like ranch-a-cue.
I hear that. I like to kind of make my own little concoction. Sometimes I take some ketchup and some mayonnaise, some pepper, put all that together. Boom, got a little sauce.
I actually think ketchup and mayonnaise mixed together is one of my favorite little sauces to just kind of whip up for no reason.
I like that.
Now, my wife calls it goop, but if you take it one step further and you go ketchup, mayonnaise, and mustard, it's kind of like special sauce on a Big Mac or what they put on, you know, animal fries at In-N-Out Burger. But it's just delicious.
Yeah, you got to dice up some pickles, throw that in there, or some relish if you've got that. Boom.
Then you got Louis dressing for sure, which is really capers, which are really nice. Parsley juice, you could finish it. But I think if we're going straight up chicken fingers, kind of out of the freezer on a sheet tray into the oven to get baked, I like ranch dressing with a little bit of barbecue sauce mixed in.
Why is ranch dressing at restaurants so much better than what we have in our refrigerator?
Because it doesn't have xanthan gum in it, right? Because when you taste like commercial ranch dressing. There's like a little weird, like lemony sour note to it that can always taste. Like it, like all commercial dressings have xanthan gum, which is like a stabilizer.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird flavor to it. I don't like it. Like it's an industrial standpoint, because I've made like mass products before and you have to have that just to make it shelf stable for a while. But when you make it from scratch, it's 50-50 mayo and sour cream. You can make this in a big bulk batch. You can make a little bit or a lot, but 50-50 mayo and sour cream. That's my slam dunk creamy sauce dressing. Slam dunk, right? If you want to make blue cheese dressing or ranch or anything like that, green goddess dressing, 50-50 mayo sour cream. And then with ranch dressing, it's a little bit of garlic powder, a little bit of red wine vinegar, a little bit of lemon juice. And then I like to drizzle a little bit of extra virgin olive oil on that, salt, and then fresh cracked pepper. And then I like to throw in chives, which it really kind of is. And that's ranch. That's ranch dressing. It's bomb.com.
Is dill not supposed to be in there?
Well, you could, yeah. I mean, you could throw anything you want to it. There's no wrong way to make it at that point, to be honest with you, right? So you can throw in dill, parsley, basil, chives. I wouldn't throw anything like a woody herb would feel wrong. Like rosemary is not the right herb.
Yeah.
Sage is not the right herb. Thyme is not the right herb. But anything that kind of feels like it would be a top level garnish, like any chive, basil, chervil, tarragon, anything in that world, totally works.
I like how I was like, we're going to do rapid fire questions, stream of consciousness. And I did one question and we then went into a whole thing about ranch.
That's the Tuesday rabbit hole, man. That's what you're coming up for, bro. It's just
sorry about that.
Talking about, is it a sandwich? Is it a freaking soup?
Yep.
What, you know, that's what you get. You get what you get. You know what you signed up for.
Yeah. Sorry to all of you guys out there.
You get what you get. But we just learned something about ranch dressing. It's kind of fun, right?
Yeah. And I'm going to make that now because I love, like when you go to the restaurant and they, because it's like, oh, this is so much better than what they got at home. And I want to make that. And it seems very, very easy.
50-50 mayo sour cream. You're welcome.
Yeah. Second one, what's the best way to eat eggs? Boiled, scrambled, omelet, or fried?
Scrambled eggs in my house are holy territory.
Okay.
Holy territory. I make a wicked omelet. I make an omelet that'll make you cry. And my 16-year-old son, Hayden, during the pandemic, when everybody was on a sourdough bread kick, I taught my kids how to make a perfect omelet. And three eggs cracked, stirred together in a bowl, separate bowl. You want to whisk them so they're completely incorporated. So there's no streaks of white, no streaks of yellow. It's frothy and it's bright yellow and it's completely incorporated, right? Then you want to get a nonstick pan. Like if you want to get a really, really great, it's got to be part of your kitchen arsenal, is to have a 9-inch nonstick omelet pan and just prepared for it to get banged up. That pan you're going to be replacing probably once a year if you make a lot of omelets like me.
Yeah.
I have three. And so in a restaurant, especially if you know a good brunch line cook, right? Those things get stashed away in a locker. They get wrapped up in kitchen towels and nothing metal ever goes in them. Only silicon spatulas, period. No scratches, right? So then you want to throw in whole butter into the bottom of the pan. Don't melt the butter. Throw in whole butter into the bottom of the pan, and you want to slowly warm up the pan. You don't want to put the eggs into the pan screaming hot. You want to slowly bring the temperature up in through the eggs so they begin to cook like a creme brulee.
Got it.
Silky, soft texture. And then with a rubber spatula, you want to stir, 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 stir. And it feels like you're not going anywhere with it until it begins to happen. And then you're basically folding the cooked eggs into the raw eggs. And as raw eggs start to push up back up towards the side of the pan again, those are going to start to thicken. Now, when it starts to become kind of like really thick and creamy, and it feels like it's starting to cook and there's a little tiny lake of raw egg right on top, tiny, tiny lake of creamy raw egg. You want to just stop the cooking process and just let the eggs rest. Okay. Then, because like if you're going to make a perfect omelet, it's creamy in the middle.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, because I've always heard that you should add like cold butter or something like that into that to, or like a creme fraiche that's cold. So it kind of slows down the cooking process as well.
Well, you want to add cold butter at the very beginning of the eggs. And then also just don't overreact with the heat of the pan itself. So don't put the eggs into a screaming hot pan because they'll begin to souffle and they get tough. Protein hates high heat. It likes it for a little bit to get nice and brown. But it doesn't. Protein hates being cooked at a high heat. The difference between really terrible scrambled eggs that you get at a diner and creme brulee, same ingredients, is time and temperature and heat. That's it. So anyway, so you've got this like really kind of perfect fluffy cloud-like mass of cooked eggs. It's a little raw in the middle, but I mean that in the best possible way. If you like a good kind of runny egg yolk, that's the texture I'm talking about. Then you can throw in creme fraiche. Then you can throw in brie is my favorite. Brie is the bomb. Brie avocado. Chive on top of that. Brie avocado, yep. Chip, salt, da-da-da. Now you could throw in honestly anything. Denver style omelet with, you know, with peppers and onions and potatoes and bacon and yada, yada, yada. Anything you want, right? Now the dismount on top of this is also really tricky. We should do a whole show on an omelet. But if you're listening to this, how to do it. So you're holding the omelet pan in the cup of your hand away from you, but then you're going to flip it so then the handle starts to come out of the side of your hand next to your pinky instead of the thumb and the forefinger. You want to kind of start to trigger the dismount, right?
Yeah.
You want to start to kind of get that motion and the ocean ready to rock and roll, right? And then with a rubber spatula, you just want to kind of go underneath next to the handle and begin to pull out those little edge, that little slightly leathery edge that's going to catch the cheese, right? That's the first fold. And then you want to go back underneath that again and then flip it one more time. And then the third flip, which is going to be the top of the omelet itself, the third flip is going to create this seam, right? And then you just basically just dismount it onto your plate, take a good clean kitchen towel, reshape it, and then I take a whole butter one more time and just shine it up.
Oh, yeah.
Little wax on, you know, right on top of the omelet, right? And then a little bit of chive. And then, and literally this is what I do for my children. And as you can tell, I've clearly spoiled them. But omelets are a thing, dude.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. Which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it true that if you are going to become like a serious chef, you have to prove to like whoever's like your teacher that you can make eggs well? Because I've seen that in movies and stuff.
I think if you can make a good omelet, you can make anything.
Okay.
But if you can't make a good omelet, you have attention deficit disorder when it comes to the kitchen. Because like I would probably not put you in the pole position from a cook standpoint if you can't make me a perfect omelet. Because I'm going to demand a lot of detail. And if you can't master that, which is three eggs and butter, right? God forbid I hand you scallops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we're just going to be in dangerous territory. You're going to go waste my product. And then I'm just going to ask you to, you know, go peel some potatoes. I mean, for sure, if you can master a really great omelet, you can master anything.
Question number three. How should bacon be cooked? Crispy or still a little soft?
What do you like?
A little soft.
I like it. Okay. So if you're in the UK, they like streaky bacon. They like it chewy and leathery. Yeah. And then I like it where it's somewhere almost crispy, right? Because I don't like the fat fully extracted.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fat a little intact, but I like the protein crispy. I like it somewhere in the middle.
Okay. I can respect
bacon?
That.
How do you cook bacon?
I mean, I've done every way to Sunday, but I think that the easiest way to do it is on a sheet tray in the oven. Yeah. I've found that is the easiest, like kind of set it and forget it.
Don't put it into a saute pan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just going to splatter everywhere and you're going to make a mess and you can't really cook pretty bacon at scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. So streaky bacon, half sheet pans, right? And again, you can buy these things on Amazon. The difference between a cookie sheet, which a lot of people have, and a half sheet pan by a company specifically called Volrath. They're out of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Volrath, right? They make, I think, the best industrial equipment that you can kind of buy in most kitchen supply stores, but you can also buy them on Amazon. And I have, no kidding, here at the house, because we do caterings here at the house from time to time, but I think I have 50 half sheet pans.
I'm looking at the website right now.
Volrath, V-O-L-L, yeah,
R-A-T-H, yeah.
Yeah, Volrath. They're from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Their half sheet pans are best in category, best in class.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to take it one step further, they make wire racks that go in that perfectly as an inset.
Mm-hmm.
That's great for roasting stuff. You want to roast a chicken, you want to roast a pork loin, you want to roast anything. That half sheet pan is going to be one of your favorite tools that you go from the prep table to the oven, maybe even sometimes straight back to the table if you want to. But the rack is going to let you, and you can do this with bacon if you want, because the rack gives you a little bit of air underneath that. So it circulates. Yeah. But I don't necessarily use that because I actually like the contact with the pan itself to help get it nice and crispy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so you could probably get maybe 10 strips of bacon on a half sheet pan, you know, which is great. So it's like 5 and 5, 2 rows of 5, and then 350, 375 in the oven, and then just kind of let it go. Don't forget it. Because if you burn the bacon, especially at brunch time at a restaurant, nobody likes you. No one's your friend.
Yeah.
If you burn a sheet tray of bacon, A, it smells bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's wasted 15 minutes, bro.
Big no-no.
Big no-no. I am one with the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
I will not burn the bacon.
Do not burn the bacon.
I am one with the bacon. I will not burn the bacon. And then you just commit, and then you pull it out when it's nice and crispy, and then get a nice fish spatula. We talked about the fish spatula.
Mm-hmm.
Put that onto a good paper towel, let it drain. And then you've got like flat, crispy,
mm-hmm.
you know, crunchy, pretty sticks of bacon, which also are just awesome in a Bloody Mary.
Absolutely. All right, next one. What's the best cheese for a cheeseburger? I feel like I know this answer for you, but let's see what you say. Cheddar, American, Monterey Jack, Swiss, or blue cheese?
None of the above.
Wow, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
What were you going to say? What's your choice?
I thought you would say American.
I like American cheese. If you're going to go like old school smash burger,
yeah,
I think you got to go American. If not, you're just like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Fancy pants. Shut your mouth.
Okay, so then what cheese do you like on your burger?
My favorite cheese in the world comes from a small cheese producer in Point Reyes, California, which is in Marin County, which where I'm, you know, piping it from today.
Yep.
And it's Cowgirl Creamery. and their triple cream Mount Tam Brie is spectacular. And that is the cheese that we put on our Miller and Lux burger that the Michelin guide says said it's one of the five best burgers in the state of California.
Wow.
Not bragging if it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. But and that's a state full of really good burgers. So that's
and really good cheese and really good cheese.
That's true.
Yeah. So cheese is my thing. So, and that's the same cheese we put on the burger at Wayfair. It's the same burger we put, the same cheese we put on the burger at Miller Lux. And it's bomb. It melts in such an elegant fashion. And it has this like full butterfat white mushroom flavor, which is just so, it doesn't get in the way of the flavor of the beef.
Yeah.
And it's that big, huge, creamy fat pop, and the stretch is sexy. It's just blubbery. Oh, it's the best. Mount Tam, triple cream brie. Buy it. Run, don't walk. It's in your cheese section. And actually, they sell it coast to coast, so you can probably find it most any place. But it is the best cheese. And it comes in a little small mini wheel, so you get to freeze it. Right, freeze it before you cut it, so you get like nice, perfect slices out of it. If you cut it when it's cold, you might crush like the last circle.
Yeah.
But if you freeze it and then slice through it with a warm knife, you're going to get perfect circles that just crown that little juicy burger, buddy.
Mm, that's just a good little tip. Freeze it.
Freeze a little wheel, and you get those little perfect circles, and you pop that under the. So you want to griddle them on a flat top, put them on your half sheet tray from Volrath from Wisconsin. And then you put that little cheesy crown on top of that, pop it on the broiler. Just don't melt it. Don't make a lake because you're wasting the cheese. Just warm it to where it's about to melt.
Yeah.
Don't melt it.
And I assume the ambient temperature of the burger is also going to continue to melt it as you sit there and eat. So you don't need to get too gooey.
Yeah. Don't waste the, it's just sort of a, like you're, it's sloppy, right? Just don't melt it all over, cause you're wasting the cheese. Don't let it melt all over the sheet tray. Just like let it where it's just about to melt. The cheese will let you know.
I got a bone to pick for all restaurateurs out there that make cheeseburgers.
Let's go, man.
Never, ever, ever.
Are you angry? I've never heard you get angry.
This grinds my gears.
What are you mad about, bro?
Every time they put an onion ring on my burger, I hate it because it's one bite and then all of a sudden I pull away and the onion ring has come uncased from its casing and I got this long onion slopping down my chin. It's never turned out well for me. I hate onion rings on my burger.
Okay, so the Miller and Lux burger has three fabulous onion rings kind of
on top of that. I hate
it. Have some from the side. You're gonna send that back to the kitchen, bro.
Yeah, put it on the side. Let me get that delicious ranch that you're talking about.
A little
dunk-a-do, and then I'll be a happy boy.
Right? All right, that's fine. Fair. You do you. I think that's great.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
Okay, so but what the question is, what is an onion ring? Is that a sandwich? You're going to say yes.
No. Yeah, it's a sandwich.
Onion ring's a sandwich.
Yeah. It's breaded and deep fried.
It's an onion sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say like an egg roll is a sandwich.
Sandwich. That's a sandwich.
Yeah.
You really upset a lot of people last week.
I know I did.
Yeah, you did.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Riley Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's continue on. How do you prefer potatoes, baked or mashed?
Okay, so we kind of bumped into this week. I mean, our potato puree is just sexy. I don't think there's any other way to describe it, right? Like, you take our 45-day dry age tomahawk, sliced, just north of medium rare, which is my favorite temperature, just north of medium rare. And then it's got like a lake of little like melted beef fat in the bottom of the plate. You with me so far?
Yeah.
Back of the room, you with me so far?
Yeah.
You in the car, are you with me so far? You're with me.
They are.
Now you take that big fork, right? With all the drippy, like melted beef yumminess, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go straight to the potatoes, bro.
Yeah.
And that's the sexy sizzos that you're going to, because that's how potato puree, it's not mashed potatoes, bro. Because that's like granny style. It's got chunks in it, right? I'm talking about like baby food smooth potato flavored butter. That's what I'm talking about. And then you just take the meat and you go straight into the potatoes and then you put that in your mouth and then there's nothing. I don't think there's anything better. So I'm going to say potato puree, not mashed potatoes, but we've had all of these requests for baked potatoes recently. So I'm starting to pay attention to trends where I think a baked potato is coming back. Have you seen Martha Stewart's baked potato thing at her restaurant in Vegas?
No.
Listen, I love Martha. Martha and I are buddies. She smells like money and cookies every time I see Martha Stewart. I'm in an elevator with Martha Stewart and she smells like money and cookies.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to smell like that one day.
Money and cookies. And so she has this, it's called Bedford, I think her name of her restaurant in Vegas. I haven't been there yet, but she has this like baked potato cart thing. Where the potato comes out, baked potato, that never did anything to anybody. This poor baked potato, right? Just look it up. You're going to get a big laugh. So she has this sort of like slap technique where you take the baked potato and you kind of slam it on the counter.
Okay.
And it kind of crushes on itself.
Yep.
Then you put a knife in it and then you squish it back up together again like it's a big mouth. Waiting to eat the cheese and eat the sour cream and the chives and the bacon and yada yada. I think that's funny. If you want a big giggle, just because the couple of videos that are out there, the guy just sort of exaggerates the smash.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels so unnecessary.
Now, I was going to say, I feel like, why do you have to make a decision with this question? Why can't you have both things? Why can't both things be true?
Would you like risotto with that? Like, what do you have?
Twice baked potato. I feel like that's a baked potato in baked potato form, but then also is mashed potato-y, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's cool. So we're working on
he
this.
He did not like that answer.
No, no, I do, I do. I just think like, and there's nothing wrong with that. So it's just a lot of work, right? So like you bake potato, then you scoop out the inside. You got to make the mashed potatoes. You put it back in, you bake it, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Because I think once you stuff it, I think it's kind of this the same thing. Here's the thing we're working on. Duck fat baked potato.
I'm listening.
I thought so. So we have these like Kennebec potatoes, which I think are my favorite to make a French fry out of. But then also I think they're the best size for a baked potato because sometimes the Idaho russet potatoes are just a little exaggerated. Mm. Like put that back in your pants. You're scaring the kids. It's Whoa. A potato, right?
Yeah.
And then if you go anything smaller than that, they just look a little wimpy, right? But I think the Kennebec potatoes are great. Nice starch, nice sugar, really nice flavor to it, right? So we're baking those, and then we're going to let them rest. You got to poke holes in it because they'll blow up. If you haven't had that before, that's a real thing. Carbohydrate shrapnel in the face is waiting for you.
Don't want that.
That's a cautionary tale. Don't do what I did. So then we're going to let them rest, and then we have this pot of liquid duck fat on the counter of the kitchen, and we fry it. This whole potato and duck fat until it gets crispy as a French fry on the outside.
Okay.
And then we take it out, let it rest, hit it with salt. And then you put a knife into the top of it and it just goes. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then
you, I'm listening. Right. So then it's like a duck fat fried French fry baked potato.
Yeah.
Yep. And we're serving this as like this presentation thing. So the baked potato comes out in this pretty little precious copper dish. And then on the side, there is a mixture of butter and creme fraiche together, whipped together, right? They're buddies, right? And then chive and then macadamia nut fed bacon.
You can feed macadamia nuts things?
To a pig in Hawaii, bro.
Wow.
The best bacon on planet Earth.
Wow.
I'm going to send you some, man. Have we talked like, about this?
We did. We talked about, I think, last episode. And I would like
macadamia nut fed bacon is a thing. It's kind of big in Hawaii, but it is amazing. So anyway, so it's going to come out. And so then it's like table service, right? Mm-hmm. So the server is going to put the scoop of the creme fraiche butter jammy jam and then the chives and then the bacon. And then we're just going to walk away because the magic just happened. And then you kind of bite into it and it has this crispy French fry, crispy texture on the outside and the fluffy guts in the middle, bro.
Yeah.
That I think is the next level baked potato. But I'm starting to see that as like a trend that's starting to pop up everywhere.
Mm-hmm. People love a baked potato.
They do. Know? They do. It's give them what they want, man. Shut up and play the hits.
Exactly. This has been a lot of fun. We had a lot more questions, but we're running out of time. So maybe next week we'll pick this back up. If you guys want to send in some audio messages or videos, we'd love that. If you see a new trend on the web, like the one we just were talking about, please send it in. We're here to educate or debunk. On Thursday, we're joined by Josh Shearer, Executive Director of Culinary Content at Mythical Entertainment. And we are going to chat all about the new cookbook he put together called Good Mythical Morning. Be sure to come back later this week for that. You do not want to miss it. Tyler, it's always a pleasure. Come back on Thursday. We'll see you guys very soon on Two Dudes in a Kitchen.
See ya.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Two Dudes in a Kitchen. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars.
We'll take that. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite.
I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.